Welcome to podcast episode number 54 from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. And today's podcast episode is going to be a little bit out of the ordinary because we usually have a listener Q&A, we have special announcements, we have our featured topic, and we usually close with some extra information as well. But today is going to be simply the featured topic. And the main reason for that is that I have just had a host of feedback from last week's podcast in terms of people wanting to know where they can go to get tested for these six key factors that we talked about in podcast number 53. If you listen to that podcast, you'll remember that I spoke with Dr. Richard Cohen, and he basically has a proprietary way for people to test essential amino acid levels, vitamin D, magnesium, calcium, pH, metabolic type, and a host of other factors from the comfort of their own home. So what I am going to do today is tell you exactly who you need to call, what steps you need to take to get that done, and then we're going to move straight forward into our interview with one of the nation's top experts on magnesium, author of The Magnesium Miracle, and just a wealth of information on health and performance. But before I do that, the moment you've all been waiting for, here is what you need to do to get your home test kit for the six key performance factors. Okay, so get out your pen. You're going to want to write this down because this is not available to the general public. I'm not putting it in the show notes of this podcast. This is the only place you're going to get it if you're listening to this podcast. But Dr. Cohen has given me the number that you actually need to call in order to get hooked up with this kit. Ready? Okay, here it is. 888-371-1033. That's 888-371-1033. And what he said you need to do is just call and tell them that you heard about the kit over at the BenGreenfieldFitness.com podcast, and he will hook you up with everything you need. And again, this is not really available to the general public right now. This is just something that Dr. Cohen is going to be able to hook you up with. So it's 888-371-1033. I literally just this week got done testing my body for everything. It took me about 48 hours, very smooth process. Everything was prepaid postage. When it arrived in a kit at my house, I just took care of the samples and dropped them off at UPS and USPS, and off they went. So give Dr. Cohen a call, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to podcast episode number 53. So in today's featured topic, we're going to hear from someone who literally is today's doctor of the future. She's author of a book, The Magnesium Miracle, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. But she's authored 16 books, including The Yeast Connection and Women's Health, and Irritable Bowel Syndrome for Dummies. She's been on TV regularly all over ABC, NBC, CBS. She's medical director for the Nutritional Magnesium Association. And during this interview, we're going to talk about some very interesting topics in the field of magnesium and health. Now, you're going to hear us throwing around a lot of terms about tests, about different types of supplements that are out there, about videos that you can go watch to learn about magnesium calcium balances. I'm going to put a link to everything in the show notes, so you can just surf on over to BenGreenfieldFitness.com and click on podcast episode 54, and you'll see the link for everything in there. So let's go ahead and move on to this week's featured topic. Podcast listeners, this is Ben Greenfield, and I have on the other line today a woman who has been called the doctor of the future. She's not just a medical doctor, but she's a naturopath, she's an herbalist, she's an acupuncturist. She's the author of 16 books. She wrote a book called The Yeast Connection and Women's Health, another one called IBS for Dummies, that's Irritable Bowel Syndrome for Dummies, and the book that we are going to talk about today, at least the focus of the book, is the Magnesium Miracle. And in the Magnesium Miracle, Dr. Dean talks about some of the missing links to completely optimizing your health. If you haven't heard some of the other interviews that have appeared on this show about magnesium, I would highly encourage you to go back and listen to those, take the information that you find today, and apply it into your own health and your own life. You're going to notice some results, but Dr. Dean is actually the medical director for the Nutritional Magnesium Association. You can find out more about that at nutritionalmagnesium.com. And if you happen to be in front of your computer as you're listening in today, you can surf over to Dr. Dean's website at drcarolindean.com. Dr. Dean, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ben. And let me just clarify, it's nutritionalmagnesium.org. We're a foundation and association, and we just disseminate information about magnesium to the public. So we're .org.
We'll make sure that the correct URL appears in the show notes to this podcast. Now, I noticed that you're an MD, a medical doctor, but you have a lot of other titles as well. You're a naturopath, herbalist, acupuncturist. Where did you get started? How did you come into this position that you're in today?
I was interested in nutrition in my teens, so I kept running around telling people to eat right and exercise, but no one would listen to me. So when I was in honors biology, I decided to go into medicine. When all the young kids around me were going into medical school, I thought, well, I can do better than that. So I went into medicine, and then at the end of medicine, I did my naturopathic training and picked up herbalism and acupuncture along the way.
Now, where did you study naturopathy?
In Toronto. It was then the Ontario School of Naturopathic Medicine. Now it's the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine.
And then you went on to medical school after that?
I did medicine first.
Oh, you did? Right. You got your MD first, and then you went on and got the ND afterwards.
Yes, because I was interested in natural medicine, and I just wanted to make sure that I covered all the basics, because in medical school, they tried to talk us out of doing anything natural. It was looked upon as being quackish, and still is, unfortunately, and we didn't learn anything about nutrition in medicine.
So along the way, you've obviously learned quite a bit, and it seems like the books that you've authored really span the gamut. But what inspired you to write The Magnesium Miracle?
What happened was I was meeting with a publisher about a Chinese medicine diet book, and they said, oh, we just signed on a title, but would you write something on magnesium? And apparently the editor, she'd had some severe back pain and also some migraines, and someone told her to take magnesium, and it cured her, so she thought it would be a worthy title. So I just dove into the research thinking how, you know, maybe I can write a pamphlet. You know, how can I get a 250-page book out of magnesium? And I was pretty stunned. The doctors that wrote the foreword for my book, Burton and Bella Altora, they alone had done 1,000 studies on magnesium and the importance of it. So there was a wealth of information. It turned out to be a fabulous book, and it's been helping thousands and thousands of people.
Now, when you were studying for this book, or when you were researching this book, were you know, this is something I hear about medical students a lot. They'll study a certain phenomenon and find that they realize that they've been experiencing those same symptoms themselves. Did you personally find that when you were writing this book, you realized that you yourself needed magnesium or could be deficient in magnesium?
Absolutely. What you're talking about first is something we call medical student's disease. Every
yes.
time we studied in a new organ or a new system, oh my gosh, you know, I've got all of that. But I certainly had magnesium deficiency symptoms. My heart would skip and palpitate a little bit. I'd get incredible leg muscle cramps. Lying in bed at night, if I stretched my leg, I'd get this humongous Charlie horse. And energy levels, a little bit of insomnia, you go down the list. So I began, even though I was on a multiple with magnesium already, because I understood that I needed more vitamins and minerals, I took extra magnesium. And one thing that happened when I moved to Maui last June, I started exercising more. You just walk more here. I'd do an hour and a half back and forth to the beach and swim for 35, 45 minutes, and I was starting to get cramping in the water, you know, when I'd really go all out trying to follow a turtle. And I had to double my magnesium because my exercise, I was sweating it out, and I really needed to put it back in my body.
Now, and you are what we would probably consider a healthy individual, a physician.
Well, most physicians are not healthy. Well, I'm actually an exception.
This is true.
Yeah, get that straight.
But we do get a lot of people who listen in who are active individuals, people who eat healthy, people who exercise frequently. You know, some people are even Ironman triathletes. They're taking care of their bodies, I guess, in as much as doing an Ironman triathlon is taking care of your body. But should they really even care about magnesium, in your opinion?
Absolutely, because when I think of athletes, I think sweat, you know, the sweat pouring and dripping off your body. And when I looked up what's in sweat and what is coming out, I mean, you lick your skin and it tastes salty. So we assume, okay, there's sodium coming out. But if you look up anywhere, the research is all done about there's in your sweat, there's sodium, there's potassium, calcium, magnesium, and any other trace elements that are in your body that can be, you know, excreted, you know, your saline in your blood, the liquidy white watery part of blood that has all the minerals and elements that your body needs to work, and you're losing bits of that. However, what happens when you look at something for a mineral replacement, the Gatorades, etc., what have they got? They've got water, sugar, table salt, and the electrolytes that they put back in are just sodium, potassium, and chloride. Mm-hmm. And they've got, you know, the high fructose corn syrup is higher than your sodium and potassium. So what happens is if you're just replacing sugars and sodium and a bit of potassium, you're not replacing your magnesium and you're setting yourself up for the muscle spasms that occur when you've got too little magnesium. What happens in most people is we've got too much calcium compared to magnesium in our diet. So we tend to get overloaded with calcium, and calcium tightens up muscles and cells, and too little magnesium, which we need to relax cells. And I'd like to send your listeners to a website, nutritionalmagnesium.org, and there's an excellent video there. It's just a 2-minute video on the workings of magnesium and calcium at the cellular level. And it's fascinating because even at the cellular level, the way the cell allows calcium and magnesium in and out is dependent on magnesium. If you don't have enough magnesium, the cell will maintain a rigid opening that allows as much calcium in as you can jam in there, which sets the cell off into a spasm. If you have enough magnesium, that cell channel closes down properly, opens and closes as you need tiny bits of calcium to do a nerve function or muscle function. So there's a physiology of what's actually happening with calcium and magnesium, and your body doesn't work properly at the cell level or at the muscle level or actually at the tissue level of any organ without the proper amounts of magnesium.
And I think it's interesting you come across ultra endurance athletes who have had heart problems, died of heart attacks, or had severe heart issues. And it seems as though the issue of magnesium deficiency is not something that comes up in the media all that much. But I can just say from a personal experience, when I've gone for a long two and a half, up to a 3 hour run and come back and sat in the living room, you really, you don't feel right. I mean, and a lot of times it is even at the level of feeling like your heart is not beating correctly. And I've spoken with a lot of athletes that feel that when they've depleted their bodies, even when they're doing things like drinking Gatorade or salting their food.
Yes. Yeah, it's wonderful to hear your personal experience, because I can relate to it both personally and with the research I've done in the Magnesium Miracle book, chapter 4. I have a whole chapter or section on magnesium and exercise. And I say the three things you need to know about magnesium and exercise is that magnesium reduces lactic acid, which causes post-exercise pain. Magnesium is lost during exercise. And magnesium deficiency may cause sudden cardiac death in healthy athletes. And what happens if you go to this nutritionalmagnesium.org website and see that video, it'll just become crystal clear what's going on with your cells. And when you sit down after heavy exercise and your heart's kind of, shaking a little almost, instead of the regular beating, there's a sort of shaking going on. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a section or a percentage of your heart muscles that just aren't getting the right amounts of calcium and magnesium, and they're kind of shivering in their action instead of giving a forceful contraction. And that's what people feel, throughout their bodies. I have athletes who've depleted themselves over the years, and then they get a really stressful incident, and then they turn into people who are anxiety prone. They have panic attacks. They can't drive their car anymore. They can't cross bridges. And it's just devastating, because these are, super athletes, and their confidence is shattered, where sometimes they become agoraphobic and they can't even leave their homes. Well, all of that can be a magnesium deficiency, because when you're low in magnesium, your adrenal glands aren't working properly. Your hormones are out of balance. It's a lot of information to throw into one interview, but there's a list of about 22 different conditions that are scientifically proven to be caused by magnesium deficiency or made worse by magnesium deficiency. And it starts with anxiety and panic attacks. And then there's asthma, blood clots, constipation, bladder spasms, depression, diabetes, fatigue, heart disease, hypertension, hypoglycemia, insomnia, kidney stones. Kidney stones are huge in terms of magnesium deficiency. Then there's migraines, any sort of musculoskeletal condition, all this fibrositis and fibromyalgia, muscle spasms, eye twitches, cramps, and chronic neck and back pain, any sort of nerve problem, premenstrual syndrome in women, it's huge, the painful cramping, infertility, problems with labor and delivery. Then there's osteoporosis, Raynaud's syndrome, sudden infant death syndrome, tooth decay, and toxicity. So wow. It covers the gamut.
You'd think that people would have discovered by now, over the past thousands of years of nutritional studies, that these type of health problems are associated with a magnesium deficiency. From what I've heard from other people that we've had on this show, a big part of it is that our food is no longer giving us the amounts of magnesium that we used to get from it. Is this true?
Yeah, that's part one of the equation. 100 years ago, we received in an average diet about 500 milligrams of magnesium. Now we're lucky to get 150 milligrams, even if the food is organic, because it depends entirely on whether or not the fertilizers contain magnesium. Yes, the second part of the equation of why magnesium isn't recognized is that in medicine, Doctors will just test magnesium in the blood, and only 1% of the magnesium in our whole body is in the blood, 1%. And that amount is guarded very closely by the body's physiology and feedback mechanisms, because it has to keep the heart going properly. So that level will always, pretty much always be normal, except if you're severely magnesium deficient. So doctors have run a lot of magnesium red blood blood tests, and they say, well, it's usually normal, so why bother testing? And the red blood cell test is what you want. In the red blood cells, actually at the cell level, there's more like 40% of the magnesium in the body. So it's a better test to do to check your levels. But, you know, because it's so hard to get the proper blood testing, there are two things that I tell people to do. One is there's an EXA test, EXATEST, and there's a website, exatest.com, and they do a scraping under the tongue of some of your skin cells, and you send it a chiropractor or naturopath will usually do this test, send it off to the lab, and they'll look at it under an electron microscope and tell you what your mineral levels are. And the second thing is people will get my book, The Magnesium Miracle, and I have a section about who is deficient. And I found 100 factors that relate to someone's need for magnesium. And we went over the conditions, but, you know, if people are taking more than 7 drinks of alcohol a week, they can be diminishing their magnesium. Or if they have any sort of arrhythmia of the heart or heart pain, if they get angry a lot, that can be a magnesium deficiency sign. So it's the symptoms that you have. You can go through this list and check them off, and if it seems like you have a dozen or more, then magnesium may be something you could try, because it's so safe. I can feel, you know, pretty secure in telling people to give it a clinical trial.
Right, and even if you're not experiencing health problems, what I've found in my use of it is, you talked a little bit about muscle soreness and a little bit about insomnia. I've been using a kind of a transdermal magnesium on areas of muscle soreness, and I've found that there's a significant decrease after the following day after a workout when I use magnesium on a sore muscle. And you had talked about lactic acid being one of the things that can contribute to muscle soreness. I've also seen research that indicates that that can be related to calcium leakage, and it seems as though, you know, there's a possibility based off of the explanation that you gave for the heart that magnesium may actually be limiting the amount of calcium leakage that occurs in the muscle. And so that's one thing I've noticed. Then the other thing, you mentioned insomnia. My wife and I have used it before as almost like a massage oil and slept incredibly better after utilizing the magnesium. Neither of us have insomnia, but, you know, there's a difference between, you know, sleeping for 7 hours and waking up a couple times during the night and sleeping for 8 hours solid and waking up completely refreshed. And so I think there, you know, even for the healthy people or the people who think they're healthy listening into the show, the quality of life could still be improved. I did have a quick question for you about the testing. You said that red blood cell test was one way to do it. This EXA test that you mentioned was another. I've seen a test that a hair mineral analysis test. Would this actually test people's magnesium levels accurately?
Well, I studied hair testing in my naturopathic training, and there are so many factors in what happens in the hair. Like, it can be high in the hair because you're excreting too much of a mineral, or it can be low in the hair because you're utilizing it properly. So I, except for poisons and toxins like heavy metals, I try to stay away from hair analysis. I know some people are very adept in reading them, but I don't think it's the best way to check on calcium and magnesium levels. It, you have to get a hair growing for a couple of months before you know what's happened. So you're always looking at a rear view mirror of your mineral status.
Interesting. Now, let's say someone tests their magnesium levels or they perhaps suspect that they are deficient. How could they ensure that they actually begin consuming adequate magnesium or begin getting adequate magnesium? What options are out there for people?
Well, you mentioned the transdermal, and I got into that after writing the IBS for Dummies book, because there are people with IBS diarrhea that can't take any oral magnesium or don't think they can take it because it causes a laxative effect. And actually, that's one of the bonuses of magnesium, is that if you get an overload, you just lose it in your stool, and some of it comes out in your urine too. So it's very difficult to get an overload of magnesium. Someone who can get an overload of magnesium is someone on kidney dialysis. And what I do there is switch them over to an angstrom magnesium. There's a company called Complete H2O Minerals, and they've made minerals, including magnesium, into a size between a picometer and a nanometer that is accepted entirely into the cell. And what we know from physicists in very recent research is that the cell mineral ion channel that allows minerals in and out of the cells is between 4 and 5 angstroms in diameter. So the minerals that get into cells have to be at the angstrom size. When you take a pill from a drugstore, a magnesium pill from a drugstore or even a health food store, I call those dirt minerals. They're not the angstrom size. Plants, for example, they won't absorb minerals into their little tiny, tiny rootlets unless they're the angstrom size. So that's why there's a lot of talk about using plant-based minerals and vitamins as well, because they're in the form that our bodies will accept. So we've got oral powders, magnesium citrate. They come most often in a flavored form that you mix in warm or hot water and drink it as a tea, and that helps the absorption. You've got the transdermal that you can use. You can use the two of them. I actually use all three forms because I have a situation with my body where I get the laxative effect too quickly. In order to, you know, to get the amount I need, you know, it's gone before I know it. So I use it on the transdermal on my skin. I use some magnesium citrate when I think I need a little bit of a laxative effect, and I use mostly the angstrom magnesium. I also use calcium. They have vials of magnesium, calcium, boron. When I'm working out a lot, I use their sports blend, which is the primo electrolyte replacement. It comes in a little ampule, in a little plastic ampule. You snap it off and you can squirt it under your tongue as you're doing a sport. You know, we're using this on athletes who recover so much better when they take this form of electrolyte replacement.
And so, just so I know, do you have any financial relationship with the H2O Minerals company?
No,
or
no.
You just use their product? Wow. Listening to what you're saying, I have a scenario that I'm thinking about for the endurance athletes that listen in. They could feasibly, and tell me if I'm wrong here, use something like a magnesium salt or a transdermal magnesium the day before the race to prime their bodies, so to speak, and then use like a topical magnesium oil prior to the race, then take these angstrom minerals in a small bottle, as you describe, and actually use them during competition to maintain optimum magnesium levels. And this would actually be an ergogenic aid, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. Why I got interested in the Complete H2O Minerals is having traveled to a couple of the CODEX meetings in Europe. CODEX is World Health Organization, World Trade Organization, that's trying to standardize food and dietary supplements. And what they seem to be doing is trying to get us all to buy a drugstore brand synthetic supplements of very low potency. So I thought, boy, I have to find some vitamins and minerals that are low potency and 100% absorbed so that we can go under the radar of this limitation on the amount of vitamins and minerals you can take. Because if you can as a company only ship a product that has 100 milligrams of magnesium per tablet, if someone needs 1,000 milligrams of magnesium of the ones in the drugstores and health food stores, if you need 10 of those a day, then that becomes a real financial burden, et cetera, et cetera. Uh-huh. So with something like the Angstrom minerals, the dosage is in the 4 times concentrate that I do is 72 milligrams. And yet, for me, that is about 700 milligrams in the dirt magnesium form.
Interesting. And you know, there are a lot of capsules out on the market. You know, salt capsules that actually have magnesium in them. And I'm just wondering. You said that it's about 75 milligrams that you're taking in.
Yes, 72 milligrams in one dose, and I might do that twice a day. It gets a little bit complicated. I do go into it in detail in my book, but when you get something like a magnesium citrate, then it's not all magnesium. I mean, part of it is citrate, and maybe only 25-30% is the magnesium. The rest is the binder. And then of that amount, you know, once that breaks down in the body, maybe only 15% is absorbed. You get one of the most common magnesiums, which is magnesium oxide, which is the magnesium that most of the magnesium research is being done on. And come to find out that magnesium oxide is only 4% absorbed.
Wow. And so,
and we don't even know, Ben, if that's at the cell level or if that's just in the blood, because they're usually just doing blood tests.
So one of the best things for people to do would probably be to incorporate some of the magnesium sources that you've recommended, and then just tolerate the effect on their body. Obviously, as you said, there is a little bit of a laxative effect when you take in too much. But if people are figuring that out prior to actually going out and using it in competition, then they'll have that baseline determined.
Exactly, yes. You don't want the laxative effect in competition,
yeah.
No. But that's where, yes, the Angstrom magnesium comes into play definitely and is very useful. And there are food sources as well.
Well, that's I was going to ask you, you know, somebody wants to go to the grocery store and they want to stock up on the foods that are actually going to give them sources of magnesium. I know we talked about the problem with modern agricultural practices, but what is going to give people the most bang for their buck?
Yes, I was going to mention I do a blog and my website, drcarolindean.com, and I give recipes, and one of the most favorite recipes is a nut pate, and that consists of macadamia nuts, lemon juice, garlic, and sea salt. And you just mix that up in a high-speed blender. And nuts and seeds have the highest amounts of magnesium. Garlic has a fair bit as well. And you put that on a collard leaf and, you know, a few other vegetables and some avocado. And deep green leafy vegetables are very high magnesium. And then for dessert, you mix up 100% cacao, coconut milk, and frozen bananas. You cut up the bananas, put all three, the cacao, coconut milk, and the frozen bananas in a high-speed blender, and you've got an incredibly delicious chocolate dessert that, you know, people mistake for the real thing.
Wow, that actually sounds pretty good.
And the reason why that's very beneficial is We know bananas are high in potassium. They have some magnesium as well. But chocolate is one of the highest magnesium-rich foods. And when I have clients telling me that they're craving chocolate, I said, well, then really you're craving magnesium.
Interesting. So you talked about the nutritionalmagnesium.org. You've mentioned that a couple times during the interview. What is the Nutritional Magnesium? Well, I visited the website, and it says the Nutritional Magnesium Association. What is that?
It's an organization that our director, Boris Levetsky, began. He's a long-distance bicycle competitor, and he came across magnesium out of the need of his body developing magnesium deficiency symptoms. So over time, he decided that he wanted to educate the public more about magnesium because, unfortunately, it's not in the media. I mean, you mentioned several times how, well, gosh, nobody's really heard of this. Not a drug, it can't be patented, so it doesn't get a lot of press. And that's why I love to do interviews like this. On my blog, just about every second post is someone asking about magnesium, and I've incorporated a lot of that information into a 48-week health program called Future Health Now, because I want people to get back to the basics. If someone has all these symptoms that we're talking about here with magnesium deficiency, you know, tremor in their hands, wheezing, you know, feeling that they, in women, the PMS and cramping during their period, any sort of muscle cramps, you have all those symptoms, you go to your doctor, and if you have more than five symptoms, they think you're depressed and put you on a antidepressant. All these symptoms, if you go and say all of a sudden you're having anxiety attacks, instead of thinking it's a simple mineral deficiency, you'll be put on a Valium or Xanax or something. So it's really important for people to be educated about the basics. And unfortunately, the media is going toward the what I call the celebrity supplements. All you hear now is about resveratrol, the nutrient from grape skins. And I'm sure, you know, within a year, people are going to be putting out studies saying resveratrol is unsafe and people are dying from it. Well, what can happen is you can get companies starting to make resveratrol from grapes that aren't organic and have a lot of pesticides, concentrate the pesticides, and you're taking it and you're going to get sick. So there's this incredible commercialization of the natural products industry that takes us away from the basics. And to me, magnesium, because it works with over 325 different enzyme systems in the body, which is the highest of any mineral. To me, magnesium is the basic supplement. If people can start taking that, then they'll feel better and want to do more for their health.
Wow. Well, Dr. Dean, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to your website and also to this nutritionalmagnesium.org where that two-minute video is, and I think that would be really helpful for especially athletes to see what's going on in their hearts. I'll put a link to the EXA test that you mentioned, the complete H2O minerals angstrom-sized magnesium, and all those resources will be available to the audience. But I would say most importantly, I've started to read it, but pick up a copy of The Magnesium Miracle if you're listening in today. I'll put a link to that in the show notes to the podcast. This would be a book that is worth your read. I only read about one book a month or so, and this is one that I'm starting into this month, and so far it is a fantastic book, and it really opened your eyes. So, Dr. Dean, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome, Ben. It's been fun. As I said, I enjoy getting this information out there, and athletes really need to think about taking in more magnesium.
Hearing this over and over again from top physicians in America and around the world has convinced me 100% to include it in my training and my health protocol, and I hope that those of you listening in are convinced in the same way to take care of your body. So, Dr. Carolyn Dean, thank you for coming on the show. We appreciated having you. Thank you for your time, and have a wonderful week.
Thank you, Ben.
So if you want to access any of the things that Dr. Dean and I discussed during that podcast, then you can simply go to the show notes for this episode, and this is episode number 54, over at BenGreenfieldFitness.com, and just click on the links that I have over there to pretty much everything that came up in terms of links and products and things of that nature during the show. The other thing is that you'll notice at the bottom of today's show notes, I have a link where you can donate to our podcast and help support getting this out, and you'll get a free Ben Greenfield Fitness t-shirt, midnight black and lime green. It says, "My personal trainer told me to eat more fat." And by simply clicking on that button there and donating to our podcast, you will automatically get sent a t-shirt in the mail. Also, if you didn't happen to go over to the website and read the posts last week on energy drinks and on how to eat healthy when your spouse wants to eat unhealthy, you'll want to check those out. And again, you can get those at BenGreenfieldFitness.com. All right, have a great and healthy week.